Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Windows Weekly is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com. This is Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott, episode 20 for April 6th, 2007. Windows Weekly Live. This show was recorded before a live audience on TalkShoe.com. And a very good afternoon to you. It's our first live edition of Windows Weekly. Paul Thurrott is here, the news editor for Windows IT Pro and the host of the fantastic super site for Windows at winsupersite.com and, of course, his own blog, internet-nexus.com. Paul, I hope you're ready. Fasten your seatbelts. Or if you only have one, fasten your seatbelt.
I will sit on my mute button.
Do not sit on your mute button. We are live in TalkShoe, which means that we can take calls, and we're going to do that in just a little bit. And so if you've got a question for Paul, if you want to talk about Vista, I suppose, Paul, you could even talk about XP. You know, I saw the other day that you can, in fact, still order XP through Dell.
Yeah, somebody emailed me about that, and I saw a circular that said for a limited time on certain models, you could get XP.
Kind of think it's probably the old models, right? Or maybe they're doing new builds. If you went to a Costco or a store and you bought a machine with Windows XP, it would almost certainly mean that that machine was from last year, right?
Right. It had been sitting around there for a while.
If it's a little dusty. We do take calls, as I said, but we can also talk about anything that's going on with Vista XP, Xbox 360, Zune, anything else in the Microsoft world. Any Microsoft news you want to share with us? Paul, anything going on?
No, I got nothing. No, I have nothing dramatic.
This very honest of you. I think that's fantastic. There was a little, maybe you didn't notice, but there was a little.
Am I supposed to be prepared?
No. There was a little bug in Windows NT, XP, 2000, mm-hmm. and Vista, the animated cursor flaw, forcing Microsoft to ship a patch early, out of cycle.
Yeah, apparently a buggy patch as well, so.
Yeah, what's the latest on that? I saw a number of people complaining that it's slowing their systems down or causing.
Yeah, there's been some complaints, so don't be surprised to see that one get re-released.
Tuesday is the normal day,
right?
So this is the weird thing. Microsoft, according to EI, the security firm that discovered this flaw, has known about this for 3 months.
Right.
Had plenty of time to create the patch, test the patch. It wasn't, they didn't have to rush it out this week. They probably had it around. But according to some people, for instance, CNETnews.com reports that it doesn't work with Realtek, the Realtek chip. A reader said Ethernet and audio functions were gone. Right. Uninstalling the update fixes that. Microsoft says it knows it, and it knew it when it published the update.
Yeah, Microsoft has a nice blog post where they explain how heroic they were getting it out so quickly as well, which I thought was kind of interesting.
A little self-congratulatory, perhaps.
Yeah.
I guess the what it tells me, if they released it with a known problem, fairly large problem, is that this is a fairly severe security hole.
The animated cursor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently it affects Firefox as well.
Right.
So I guess Mozilla is going to ship some sort of an update as well.
In fact, the only people who are safe if you're using an NT-based version of Windows is people who are using Internet Explorer 7 with the protection turned on, which I believe at least...
Protected mode, yeah.
Yeah, I think the protected mode
it's on by default.
Right.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
So Vista people would be safe unless they had turned that off.
Right. We know no Windows users ever turn features off, so...
Really, we know they leave them on, so that's really good. Since there's no other news stories, that's the top story. And of course, if you want more on that, we did cover it pretty thoroughly in a special report that we released on Security Now on Monday.
Thanks for coming, everybody. Good night.
Good night, everybody. No, let's go right to the phones. And we have a lot of calls. Okay. We're going to start with Kurt. Kurt, welcome. Tell me where you're calling from before you ask your question.
I'm from Orlando, Florida.
That's great. Thanks for joining us on our first live Windows Weekly.
I was wondering if either of you have tried out Windows Home Server Beta yet.
Mm-hmm. That's a pretty exciting technology.
Yeah. Yeah, I have.
I have the beta.
Mm-hmm.
Kurt, give us your review.
I just wanted an universal machine because I don't have a spare machine sitting around, and it's as good as it seems to be. It runs smoothly. I'm buying it.
Paul, tell us what it does.
Yeah. Well, it does a couple of things. I mean, I think a lot of times when you think of a home server, you think about digital media sharing and so forth, and it does all that stuff. But honestly, the big thing in home server is the storage stuff. So you can add storage to it over and over again if you have internal drives, external FireWire, or USB drives. And what it does is it creates a storage pool. And you can use that to also obviously host content as a server would, but also to store your backups. And it does system image backups. It does incremental backups and so forth. So you can restore your system remotely and all that. But
so it's kind of a NAS. It's kind of like a NAS server would be. Well, it is a NAS server.
You can log on to it. You're not supposed to. You're supposed to hit it remotely using some of the client tools that they give
you. Use it headless without a screen and keyboard,
yeah,
in other words.
Yeah. Yeah, so during the beta, obviously, you get software, and you can install it on any machine. And I've installed it on hardware. I've also installed it in a virtual machine so I could take screenshots. And, I think it looks great. I mean, there's some controversy now because, obviously, it's a home product, and a lot of the techie-type people using it now want to keep Active Directory domain support in there and all that.
So, the high-end stuff, business stuff.
Yeah. We'll see how that goes, but
it
looks good.
The final product will not be software. It'll be a hardware device.
They told me it'd be both.
Oh, so you'll be able to buy it on the shelf.
Yeah.
Oh, neat.
Now, every time I see a story about home server, they specify it will be hardware only, but Microsoft told me they will make both versions available.
So, Kurt, you would run out and buy the... Actually, I'd be more interested in this software, wouldn't you, Kurt? I mean, we all have old PCs lying around. It'd be great to put this on those or build your own box.
Yeah, I'm a get software, and they have said in the beta area that it will definitely be available in software. The one complaint I have, though, is there's no antivirus built in yet, which I think is really a must-have. If it's headless, you can't install antivirus as a usual home user.
You'd have to, if you're running one on your desktop, which is where you'd get infected unless it's a worm.
No, I think you mean, in other words, you on the server itself, because it's going to sit between you and the world, and also
It's also a router. It's not merely NAS storage.
Well, it's a server. I mean,
it's sitting on the network. I understand. So it'd have to be a worm or a network aware virus to spread.
Well, but it's a version of Windows. So in other words, this is a special version of Small Business Server, essentially, without all those server apps on top of it. So it's still Windows. You know, you're going to want to run security software on top of it.
Yeah, although it seems like less likely to catch a virus since you're not using it as a desktop machine.
That's true.
You'd have to get a network aware virus. But those things exist, right? I mean,
it also does, since it does the backups, it
backs up viruses
somehow in your backup.
Right, but how do you activate it? Is what I'm saying. So if you have, I mean, almost all of these come in through the desktop. If you have a good antivirus and you're protecting yourself with a firewall, you know, router and a and you're making sure you don't get viruses on the desktop, you're not going to infect that thing. It's just a network hard drive, really. But I can.
It could jump from desktop to desktop.
Sure, some do. Network-aware viruses, yeah.
Well, it shows the backups. It uses only one copy of common files. So it could think you've updated a file, and then it would copy it to all your other computers.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it could spread it.
Right, yeah. Right.
Good point.
Yeah, the single-instance storage. That's true.
Kurt, I thank you for the call.
Thank you, sir.
It's historic. Okay. Our first caller on Windows Weekly Live. Let's take another one. Brian is on the line. Where are you calling from, Brian?
Fort Collins, Colorado.
Great to have you. Thanks for joining us at Windows Weekly.
Oh, thanks. Enjoy all of your nightcasts. They're great. Keep them up.
Well, we're doing more and more on TalkShoe just because I like the interactivity, you know, and we're going to do some twits on there. Of course, Net at Night is always on this, and we thought, well, let's try Windows Weekly. So
it's great.
Yeah. What can we do for you, Brian?
Well, I hate to do this, but I kind of have I'm wondering about some software. I love the new Office 07. And I'm an engineering student, so lately I have a lot of appointments that I need to schedule, and they come in the form of emails letting you know. So I was wondering if there's a way to take the email and have it automatically scanned by Office and have it all the appointments scraped out of the email and put into my calendar.
Of course, it does that if you have an Exchange server. And there's a, isn't there a certain Outlook invitation format?
Yeah, there is.
So if you got, but it has to be sent that way.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Send them, you know, April 2nd, whatever, at 5 p.m.
Right.
So.
Well, is there filtering software that could look at the actual message content and do something based on that?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it'd be pretty specific.
You could write something in Windows Scripting Host or PowerShell or something.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to be running Exchange to get an Exchange style invite. It will still add it to your local calendar, automatically, or you can click the accept button or whatever. But I don't know of any way to do that. I mean, I've been testing Thunderbird lately, and there are actually certain calendar type email invites you can send through Thunderbird that it understands and will send to, you know, Sunbird or whatever you might be running. But I don't know. What format are these things in?
Were they just,
no, just the plain text?
It's a text. It's a kind of a
So you'd have to do something.
You could write something in VB. You could write. I mean, any scripting or programming language can access those messages, and you can attach that script as a rule, as a filter rule in Outlook. So
I can't imagine how helpful. I mean, all of these people out here that have meetings every day. I mean, you just send a message.
Be nice.
You know.
Yeah, it'd be nice.
And, you know,
sure,
it would be so easy. You could just scrape the message, throw it into your calendar, and it'll ask you before. Mm-hmm. But, of course, just throw it in there, and it would be all ready.
Well, maybe somebody will know and call in. And if not, this is an assignment. if there's any programmers listening, an assignment. I think, you know, the problem is when you have freeform text like that, it's always a little tricky. There are, you know, there are some web services like Stickit, which will look at freeform text and say, oh, that's an appointment, and actually turn it into appointment. And that's a kind of cool way to do it, but I don't know anything that will do it with Outlook. Take a look at STIKKIT though, Brian, because it's kind of neat. Okay. It's stickit.com, and it's basically a wiki. But you can write in anything in free form, and it will automatically add it to your to do list or your calendar, and it will also sync with Outlook, I believe. The question is, how do we get our emails into that? That's the kind of thing I'd love to see, stuff like that. But that's a lot of work to write something like that. That's artificial intelligence, basically. Mike, welcome. Leo Laporte, Paul Thurrott. This is Windows Weekly. Hello, Mike. Mike, tell us where you're calling from and your... Well, I know your first name. It's Mike. As Mike is muted, he says, Mike, unmute your mic. Press that little button. That Paul Thurrott's the king of mic muting. He says, one
I know.
Second.
I usually sit on it, but...
if you're sitting on it, Mike, unsit on it.
Which sounds terrible.
He can type, but he can't talk.
It's a headset, not like a microphone. You know what I mean.
I tell you what, I'm going to... I'm going to put you... I'm going to mute you in about 1, 2... Yeah, sorry, Mike. I appreciate it. I tell you what, though, get back in the queue, and I will keep my eye peeled for you if you can get the thing working. Now we're going to go to Rachel. Rachel, welcome to Windows Weekly.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm calling from La Crosse, Wisconsin.
All right.
I'm actually the same Rachel that was on Twitch 2 weeks ago.
Oh, I remember you. Sure. Yeah. Well, the neat thing about TalkShoe, it's still kind of undiscovered, so it's actually really easy to get on.
Yeah.
Not like the radio show, which is impossible to get on to.
And I'm following you on Twitter, so I knew to come. So.
Ah, good. I have all these followers who, that's why I do it. I'm hoping they'll...
So not to interrupt this, so you use Twitter?
Yeah. You know about Twitter?
See, I didn't know that. Yeah, I just found out about it.
Are you, what's your account?
No, I don't have one.
Well, I do. I'm Leo Laporte on Twitter, and I have almost 4,500 followers. It means that every time I type something...
Wow.
All these people.
They know what it is.
Yeah. Well, we talk a lot about Twitter. I don't know if it's going to have any staying power. What do you think, Rachel? I mean, it's one of those things that's really cool, but you get tired of, I think.
Yeah, I think that eventually it'll die out.
Look at twittervision.com, though, because Dave Troy wrote this very interesting Google mashup where if people have said where their location is in Twitter, it will pop up. Are you doing it now, Paul? It'll pop up.
Yeah,
your
well, I'm looking at
you.
I was laughing at your picture, the raincoat picture.
Well, you see, I have one for every month. That's the April showers picture.
Oh, very good.
Wait till you see May. I'm dancing around a maypole.
Okay.
June, I'm balancing a... No, that's July, I'm balancing a beach ball. It's from a calendar we did some years ago. Paul, when...
Do you ever work? What do you do?
Do I ever work? Rachel, do I ever work?
Yep, when you're not playing WoW.
I'm playing a little too much WoW these days. I'm a little bit hooked on WoW. Now, I know, Paul, you're sympathetic because you're a gamer. You understand this.
I've wasted so many hours of my life this week.
I have taxes that's why I'm playing World of Warcraft. Because the alternative is to be sitting here doing my taxes, and I don't want to do that.
So we're careening wildly out of control here. I assume Rachel had a question.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry about that.
This is a first. This is Paul's telling me to get back on track. Rachel, can we help you?
Yeah. The place I work is pretty small. We have about 5 computers, and we have a little network set up. And all but one of them are on XP. And the one that's not is like our makeshift file server, and it's on 98. My boss is thinking we don't do anything with it. It just sits there, basically. And my boss wants to add a new computer, which means Vista. So my husband, who's a network administrator, went, I don't know if that's going to work. So I'm wondering if it'll work together, and if not, what you would recommend we do.
Yeah, so this is just a work group. There's no domain involved. It's just a bunch of computers networked together.
I believe.
Right? Yeah.
That should work. Why wouldn't it work?
It should work fine. It would work as well as XP. You know, I suspect that the ease of use that you're getting with 98 is due in part to the fact that it's 98, and it doesn't really matter so much about usernames and all that stuff, right? So I suspect if you were to throw XP or Vista on there might be a little bit of a hurdle in the sense that you're going to have to configure it properly so that everyone can hit it and access its shares and so forth. But, yeah, there's no reason Vista couldn't do that.
So fear not.
We'll work with the 98 machine because we didn't want to upgrade that.
What was your husband's concern? What did he think wouldn't?
In other words, we're talking about the hardware.
No, you're not going to put Vista on the 98 machine. The 98 machine is going to stay the way it is. It's just going to be a new machine added to that domain. I don't see any problem. What was your husband's?
Is that right?
Yeah.
No, well, let's make sure that's correct. Do you want to install something new on the same hardware, or do you want to put a new machine in?
Put a new machine in.
Okay, yeah, that's fine. That should be fine.
What was your husband's concern? I'm curious. I mean, he, after all, does this for a living. He ought to know.
He just wasn't sure if it would work. He hasn't really done much with Vista yet.
He's worried about Vista in general, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he works with servers all the time.
The UI is a little different, but at its heart, you know, Vista is XP from a networking standpoint. It's the next version of XP, so... If you understand XP, I don't think you'll have any problems.
That is a little bit of a problem for Microsoft, is that a number of big businesses, including some U.S. government agencies, have that same kind of concern about Vista. We just don't want to move to it because we don't know what it will break.
Well, yeah, no, it's just different enough. You know, I think a lot of people,
more different than previous versions. I mean, it's a pretty big.
That's what I mean. Yeah. In other words, going from 2000 to XP wasn't too hard. I mean, it looked prettier. But ultimately, I mean, all the stuff that was in there was the same.
The jump from 95 NME to NT was a tough jump.
Yeah.
And this isn't as tough as that, I don't think.
Yeah, I don't think it's that bad.
Yeah. Thank you, Rachel. What's your Twitter handle? I'll add you as a friend.
It's ViESE52.
Oh, well, I never would have guessed that. ViESE52. All right. Does that mean something in German?
Well, it's Z as in zebra. That's my maiden last name.
Zeiss. She is a Zeiss. Zebra. All right, I'll look for you, Rachel. I'll add you as a Twitter friend. I don't add everybody. I only add people who call the show all the time. Four Alphas, where are you calling from? What's your first name?
Oh, you're talking to me now?
I'm talking to you.
All right, I wasn't sure.
It's like taxi driver. You got through.
I listen to your podcast a lot. I got the impression Skype was free. I went and ran Skype. I got the TalkShoe client, and I was sitting there listening, and then it's telling me it's charging me and never got a credit card out of me. So
interesting.
I didn't know if you were going to talk to me. I had my earphone and an old plug-in microphone, and my telephone. I wasn't sure when you were going to talk to me or how I was going to talk.
Well, you sound good. You don't. I think so, you're on a phone now. Yes.
I'm on my home phone.
Yeah.
Which what's that? One of those clients. It's the bottom one on the list that they recommend.
Ah.
And it called me.
It called you.
It had my phone number. I tried to call you, and it called.
I don't understand this.
Then I dialed, and I'm. It called me, and then I've been sitting here on hold, watching the chat on the talk show.
To the best of my knowledge, this is a conference bridge, but you can use a Skype or any SIP client to call into the conference bridge. But that's using Skype out. You're calling a phone, and when you use Skype computer to computer, it's free. But as soon as you call a real phone, Skype will charge you. Now, I paid the...
Well, my phone rang, and I answered it.
Hello?
And it was the phone number listed for you.
Wow.
And unless there's some way they can be charging me for this.
No, I don't see how. No, they not. No, that's probably...
You know, through my phone number, like when you dial, you know, they automatically get your modem to dial in or something.
Yeah, that old scam.
Okay, now, the real reason, I've been listening to you for a long time, and this is the first time I've been able to get through. No tech questions. I wanted to ask a question, make a complaint, and get an answer on one part about Vista.
Okay.
I bought a computer at the beginning of November, which qualified it for an upgrade. Mm-hmm. About HP, a big warehouse store. I kept looking at the website, and at the beginning of December, as soon as I could, I registered to get my upgrade. Then I looked at the status, and it kept saying something about proof of purchase, which I don't remember it ever asking me for. Finally, I sent them an email PDF. I sent them a fax and a few emails, and nobody ever called me. I've never gotten a personal-sounding letter. And the next thing I know, I finally gave up. I started writing like four faxes and get their attention. A couple days later, it said it's going to ship. So
now,
I'm wondering what kind of experience.
I'm sorry. This is HP?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's something called Modus Link, but I wonder what kind of experience is it. I've never heard anybody say what kind of an upgrade is. Is it going to be an image file?
Yep.
Is it going to be a standard retail upgrade? And that was one thing. And one other thing, I had put a trial version, if you'd call it that, of a Vista on my laptop, mm-hmm. which I frequently use to use old DOS programs on an old serial port with a USB adapter, and it worked in XP, but it doesn't work in Vista. So that's my technical question about Windows, how one might get an old serial DOS program to work. But I wanted to see if anybody else had the problems, what Vista is going to be like when I get it, hopefully in the next week or so.
Okay. Well, I can't tell you specifically for your machine, but I know that there are basically two choices. You're either going to get one DVD, which will be the standard Vista DVD, where you can do an in-place upgrade, whatever. That's the basic, you know, package that PC makers can give out. Or I know that companies like Dell are, in fact, modifying these, so they supply a second DVD that's very specific to the hardware that you bought, so that it's actually a two-step process where you upgrade to Vista, and then it prompts you to insert the second DVD, and it grabs all of the drivers it needs. So since your machine is an HP, hopefully it will be more like the latter, where you're not left hanging with the drivers. But that's the least that they can do is just what you'll get at the very least is a Vista upgrade install DVD.
It's a DVD and it has an image on it, and it goes on top of your existing. You can't. Well,
yeah,
we can talk about that whole thing.
Yeah. Well, it's
it will be an upgrade disk, though, right? It won't be a new.
Yeah,
it won't be a full install.
Right.
Okay. So there, if you do want to do a fresh install, which frankly I would recommend, instead of installing it on top of XP, Paul has a good article on how you can do that. Because
I listen to most of your shows.
Yeah.
Mostly
ostensibly, you're not supposed to be able to do it. Microsoft initially said you can't do that. You have to upgrade. On top of, there's no clean install.
Right. And you can. It takes a little while, but it's worth doing. I mean, or worth
it. Don't you think, Paul, it's a good idea to do a clean install, or how do you feel about
that? I mean, the stock response I give at this point is, you know, upgrades are definitely improved in Windows Vista, but for the best results, you really clean install is the way to go if you can swing it. I mean, you have to remember to back everything up and so forth.
He may not have as many problems, of course, because it's a pretty fresh XP. The longer you've been using that thing, the worse it is.
You know, where the problems arise are the things you forget about. You know, you wipe out your machine, you think you backed everything up, you reinstall, and you say, oh, you know, where's my email?
Yeah.
And it's gone because you just wiped out the machine. So you just want to be careful.
Let's thank you for the call. We appreciate it. I'm glad you listen.
And we didn't answer his other question.
Oh, the DOS thing. Oh, yeah,
which we actually, I can't answer personally. I'm sorry. DOS support and Vista is supposed to be comparable, but the thing you're talking about, if you're controlling devices off of a serial port, I have to imagine, you know, when I think about things that get dropped off as we move forward, that low level, yeah, that's going to be right up at the front. I mean, I have a friend who's a scientist who does a lot of instrumentation type stuff with that, you know, things that are controlled on serial ports, and they still run very old versions of Windows specifically for those things because it's just, you know, it's getting harder to get that compatibility as we go forward. So I don't really have much to offer you there. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, that's just one of those things, you know, you it's a hit or miss. It might work and it might not. And if it doesn't, what's your experience been with the so-called compatibility mode? I know an XP compatibility mode was a joke.
Yeah.
Is it better on Vista? It's the same thing.
It's similar. They've added an XP profile so you can emulate XP. I mean, that's something you could absolutely try, but you know, they're drawing this line in the sand with the DOS stuff and the 16-bit stuff. In the 64-bit version of XPN and now in Vista. And obviously going forward, that's going to be how things are across the board. So I think we're pretty much in the last version that, you know, this could even possibly work.
Right.
until they come out. You know, well, until this, you know, obviously there's no reason why they can't control a serial port from a, you know, modern version of Windows. But, I mean, typically the way these things still work is for some reason these 16-bit, you know, low level, probably assembly language type programs, whatever. But I just don't know much about that. I'm sorry.
it's just one of those. The hardware compatibility is probably the worst issue, really, in general. This is the kind of question I get on the radio show. I have an old ZIP disk. It uses a parallel port.
Yeah.
And exactly. Converts that parallel port to SCSI. And I'd like to know if that's going to work on Vista.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
What
and
say.
Then when it doesn't, you know, Vista. Yeah,
Vista sucks. iPug, welcome to Windows Weekly. Leo Laporte with Paul Thurrott. Hello, iPug. What's your real name and where are you calling from?
Hayden from Vancouver.
Hey, Hayden. My new favorite town, Vancouver. What a beautiful city you live in.
You're doing the lab there, aren't you?
That's where we're doing the lab, yep.
That sounds great.
Yep.
I have a question about using an Xbox 360 as, you know, a media sort of, the new Elite as a media, you know, instead of the Apple TV.
Yep.
Using it, how does it compare to the Apple TV?
Better in a lot of ways. It does higher definition. Yeah. I mean, it looks better. There's a great XboxConnect.com is a great third-party program that is really neat. Have you tried Xbox Connect?
I've never even heard of it.
Yeah. That's what everybody's telling me. I haven't tried it. I've been very happy with the Xbox as a 360 as a media center, though.
Yeah, well, right. So there are different things, because if you have a version of Windows that has Media Center, somewhere in your house, you can use the Xbox 360 as a media center extender, which is awesome. I mean, that works great. You know, like we've been talking about this a lot. I use this in my home as the primary interface to our TV. So we have an Xbox 360 sitting next to the TV. We use the media center extender over the network. It hits the media center PC in my office, which is connected to a cable box. So we get live and recorded TV. We get, you know, all of our pictures and our home movies and our music and all that. So that's beautiful. And that is arguably much nicer than what Apple TV does. But if you don't have that, if you just have Windows PCs, you know, Windows XP, Windows Vista without Media Center, the experience isn't as good, right? So you the Xbox has a media slice, I think it's called, I think it's called media. You can access pictures, music, and now videos from any XP or Vista-based machine, but the interface is kind of clunky, you know? So it works, and it's fine. It's a little clunky. You can plug in iPods, you can plug in Zunes, you can plug in, you know, portable hard drives and all that right to the device if you have media on that, and that works fine. You can play DVD movies on it, obviously, and that works fine. you can also, if you have the media center extender functionality, you can access back-end stores like Movie Link, where you can rent and purchase, you know, full-length movies, and do things like that. So if you can do the media center thing, absolutely, much nicer right. than Apple TV.
Definitely. Okay.
At least in terms of quality. Now, of course, if you're, right. if you're, I mean, I think there's a more, much more variety of shows and movies on iTunes store, mm-hmm. and you buy movies instead of renting them. You can only rent them on the Xbox 360.
But you can.
Well, I would say, I would put it the other way. You can only buy them on iTunes.
Well, that's true.
There aren't many shows I'm going to go back and watch them again.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And even movies. I mean, I think the option of renting movies is excellent because, frankly, sometimes I'm in the mood for a stupid horror movie, but I don't necessarily
you don't
want
to buy
that.
It. Right.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch that thing again and again. Right.
Okay.
Okay, sounds good.
Hey, we're so glad you called. Thank you for joining us on our first live Windows.
So what was that? What was that thing you were talking about?
XboxConnect.com. It does a few different things. It's software that runs on your PC, lets you play Xbox 360 online games without having to use Xbox Live. Among really? Other things. I'd love to hear your review of it. I haven't gotten around to
it. Oh, I see. Okay. Actually, I think it's XBConnect.com.
I'm sorry. XBConnect.com. You're right.
Okay. I'll look at this.
A lot of people have been telling me this is the program to try. And I don't have any experience with it. I'm just noticing I'm getting a lot of emails about it. So the word of mouth is good anyway. T. Gaynor, welcome to Windows Weekly. Leo Laporte, Paul Thurrott. T, what's your first name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, this is Tom. I'm calling from New Jersey.
Hi, Tom.
How you guys doing?
Very well. We're glad you're here.
Thank you. Leo, thank you so much for all the terrific podcasts you guys have been doing. I'm just, I can't wait.
I have fun doing them, I have to say. I really, I asked Megan, I'm sorry, we're working on a new podcast. Megan and I worked on the screensavers, and we want to do a podcast. You might be interested in this too, Paul, for mm-hmm. parenting in the digital age.
Oh,
and you know, it's funny.
I would be the example of how not to do it.
Well, I think all of us kind of feel that way.
Well, how many of us were playing Gears of War today with our sons?
Yeah, I mean, and you so, played all the way through Resistance Fall of Man with your. How old is your son?
Oh, he's young.
Yeah,
he's 9.
Yeah, 9-year-old.
He's really good at these games, though.
But you know, you're not alone because Dvorak, Dvorak raised his kids this way. He said, "No, it's just a video game. They know better." And he's, you know, so I don't know. I'm one of those parents who says you can't play the game. You know, I took away Grand Theft Auto and I saw what he was doing.
Oh, yeah. No. That for some reason, that kind of thing.
You don't mind killing aliens.
Hello. Yeah, I don't know how I draw the line. But there's a game called Crackdown on the Xbox 360, which is very much like those Rockstar games.
That is a vicious game. Oh.
Yeah, so I won't let him play that. And he finds that vaguely irritating. But... you know, that's just a little too adult, I guess.
Yeah. Anyway, Megan and I, we were talking about doing a new podcast, and I said, "Now, Megan, don't you think I'm doing too many podcasts? Isn't it frustrating? Yeah. Don't you want to unsubscribe because you can't keep up?" And she says, "No, it's the opposite." She says, "What I really hate is when you run out of podcasts." So, Tom, it sounds like you're saying that I should make more.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's not overwhelming. You don't mind having 6 podcasts that you haven't been able to listen to?
No, I do a lot of driving in the car in between customers and stuff, and I have them all loaded on my iPod, cool. and I just listen to them, you know, all day.
I'm so grateful.
They're
Thank
great.
You. I appreciate it. What's your question?
No problem. Question for Paul, also in regards to the Xbox 360 as a media extender. Mm-hmm. I have about 2 terabytes of ripped DVDs on nice. External hard drives hooked up to my Mac. And yeah, I'm running baby. Windows Ultimate in Parallels.
Mm-hmm.
Any way to watch those ripped DVDs on the Xbox 360?
What format are they in?
I just used what's it called, Mac the Ripper, to rip them right off.
So
the
DVD. I could tell you what they are. They're MPEG-4 format.
Okay. That I'm not sure if you're going to be able to watch those. Well, but you know, one thing you can try. I'd have to look this up. I can look this up right now, actually. There's a, I can't bring it to the forefront here, but there's some software for the Mac that allows you to access the Xbox 360's media sharing capabilities.
Oh, yeah.
And I had it on here, and I don't see it on here right now. Well, what it basically allows you to do is hit a Macintosh as if it were a you know, Windows Media Connect client. So if you have photos, music, or videos on the Mac, you can run, you know, you can do it natively in the Mac, which is going to give you better performance.
Wow.
The word Connect is in the title. I apologize. I can't think of the name of it. It actually worked really well. I had it running here for a while. And it might be something like like Xbox 360 Connect.
Jay Ware says it's Connect 360.
Connect 360, okay.
And a number, that's another program that I'm getting a lot of emails about, people saying, oh, you got to try this.
It works fine. I haven't tried it in a while, but it does
from
work fine.
NullRiver.com.
Now, the question's going to be whether you can play an MPEG 4 file on the Xbox 360 and or... Well, actually, in this case, it wouldn't be through the Media Center Extender. It would just be through the normal 360 interface. So that I don't know.
I'm sure they don't have codecs for that.
For MPEG 4?
Yeah.
I don't know. You never know.
Connect 360 supports MP3, AAC, WAV, AIFF, and Apple lossless for music. Music, for video streaming, currently WMV and WMA only. So you could transcode. Okay. I mean, you could take that MPEG 4 and transcode it. I know it's not desirable.
That's lousy. No, you want something that does it natively.
Yeah.
I'd have to look around. I don't know off the top of my head.
Tom, there's such a bunch of good people in here. I bet you there are. We'll get. I mean, the chat room has been very helpful in here already. So,
well, by the way, the other thing is, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, you don't necessarily. Obviously, you'd have to spend money on something, but an Apple TV or even any of the other set-top type devices, if you can find one that's MPEG 4 compatible, I bet the Apple TV would work. Not that, you know, again, I understand it's a $300, but.
If you can play it in iTunes, it will. But a lot of the stuff you rip in Mac, the Ripper, you can't. You'd have to change the settings. Well, you'd have to change the settings to make sure it was iTunes compatible, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that's easy enough to test, I suppose.
Yeah.
But you already have two terabytes?
Yeah, you don't want to re-rip those.
DVDs.
Yeah, don't want to re-rip those, do you, Tom?
Yeah, I mean, if I had to, I would, you know, because that is taking up a lot of room. If I did want to redo everything, you know, what would you recommend?
I think MPEG 4 is actually a good format. That's a standard format that everybody, including Microsoft, supports. So I think ultimately that's going to be the right format. It's, you know, this is very tough in the audio world. You know, MP3, we know, you know, MP3, everybody supports it, just automatic. There is no format in video that's like that. I think MPEG 4 is the closest. And I think that's probably if I were going to pick a format to rip to, that's kind of the format I'd rip to. But, you know, Microsoft, especially with things like Xbox, because of digital rights management, it's very unlikely to use anything but WMV, I think.
Well, I don't know. I it wouldn't surprise me to discover that the 360 does work with MPEG 4, to be honest. They support AAC on the Zoom.
Wait a minute.
On the Zoom.
I have played back videos, data videos on a disc in QuickTime MPEG 4 format. Yes, I have. So it does support it playing off a disc. So you know what? It might. Come to think of it,
it's worth looking into. I mean, yeah. do you have an Xbox 360 right now?
I do.
As well as this man. You do?
So you could try.
Yeah, I mean, it would definitely be worth trying.
And how are you? So you got really two parts. You want to know how to connect it to your... Those servers, as well as will it play if you do? And I think
right now, like I said, I have them on external hard drives hooked up to my iMac.
I think Connect 360 is going to do it for you. I would take a look at Connect 360.
Yeah, I would too. I would too.
You can
now. You're not
going to
get that
free
Media Center interface. It's, you know, you can't access it through you know, the Media Center style UI. It's going to be through that Xbox, you know, dashboard type thing, but it's okay. I mean, it's not horrible as long as you can do it. I mean, just being able to access a list of the movies and play them back would be fantastic. So let me see.
I'm looking at the directory right now, and like, for example, there's a folder called video_TF.
Now that's a straight rip. If you didn't transcode it with Mac, which Mac the Ripper will do, but if you just copied it, then it's a straight DVD rip, and it will. Now that's an interesting question, because that would look like a DVD, and that's why you can play it on the Mac with a DVD player. It's the same file format.
Right, exactly.
So you did not transcode it.
I did not.
No wonder it's 2 terabytes. They're gigantic.
Yeah. So you might want to transcode those. Now as a Windows guy, I would tell you to go with WMV format. But
what do you recommend for transcoding to WMV from, I guess, shrink to 5 or what DVD decryptor will do it?
I haven't tested this with the Xbox, and maybe I should.
It's a really interesting question, actually. And the Xbox. Everybody wants to do this. We've got all our media, and we really want to move it around. It's not unusual.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I use a couple of different tools. I use something called Slysoft is a company that makes a variety of DVD-related tools. They have something called Clone DVD Mobile, which is aimed at mobile devices, but some of the profiles they have are for devices that can output it 720 by 480 or 640 by whatever. So you can take a DVD movie, and it might be 640 by 360 or whatever it works out to be. And it basically outputs in sort of an AVI file format. And I would have to fire up my Xbox to discover if those play over that. I should try that, but I can see if they play in Media Center right now. Let me just look.
A number of people in the chat room are saying they prefer XVID or DivX to MP4, but I'm a little nervous about those.
That's a compatibility issue, that's all.
Yeah.
Let me see if I can get one of these to play in here. Let's see what it does. Yes. Okay, so they do play in Media Center, but that doesn't guarantee they're going to go over to the Xbox, so...
And the streaming is another issue. It looks like, if I look at the Kinect 360 site, it doesn't stream anything but Windows Movie formats.
Okay. Yeah, so if you wanted to convert to WMV from a DVD folder structure, that I'm not sure. Well, is that what you want, though? I mean,
he's got a VOB format, so that's...
Yeah.
I think we're gonna move on and ask people to help. No, it's great. I would just ask people. To
I
help
have no answers. I have nothing. I'm sorry.
No, this is just a piece of advice from my many years in radio. You don't know. You just go. I don't know. you don't have to answer everything.
I clone DVD. It's worth going to slysoft.com and looking at clone
That's
DVD mobile.
Yeah.
One of the Archos profiles does 640 by whatever it does 720 by 480, and it's an AVI format. There are many AVI formats, but it seems to work fine with Media Center, and I don't know in the extender, but it does work fine in Media Center. So, and with Windows Media Player.
Scotters 83, what's your real name, and where are you calling from, Scotters?
Hi there, I'm from Columbus, Ohio.
Awesome. And your name is Scott?
Yeah, my name is Scott, yep.
I see, I'm clever that way.
Hey, Paul, I love your Windows Super site. I've been going to it for a while.
Isn't it a great site? I actually have been going for years, and when I said, well, who should I get to do a Windows show, it was just, to me, I'm such a fan of the Super site for Windows that Paul was just an obvious choice.
Oh, it's great.
Turns out he's a nice guy, too.
Oh, he is.
And I'm getting glaucoma watching this chat screen.
I know, it's a little scary, isn't it?
Me too.
You can sort by headers. If you click chat message, it'll sort them in order as they come in.
Oh, I'll give that a try.
Yeah, click chat message. But then the problem is that some of them are too long for the window, the little bubble. So you have to hover your mouse over the bubble.
Yeah, I know.
Which is crazy. Just crazy.
I suppose they don't have, an option to do it, IRC style or anything.
No, in fact, what we've been doing is we've been setting up a kind of a separate chat, IRC chat at CaffeineNet. One of our regular listeners is doing that, but I don't know if he did it this time. I really don't know what to do. I've asked TalkShoe to do... I mean, I've complained. Everybody's complaining about it. I'm not sure what the deal is. Frankly,
almost anything would be better than this.
But the thing is, everything else in TalkShoe is so great. I mean, the fact that we can take these calls, it's streaming it live.
Right.
It's a really great enabling technology. It's only the chat that doesn't work. And you don't have to participate in the chat. You could just listen.
I gave up about half an hour.
Yeah. To me, it's colored bubbles going by. It's very, very pretty. Very pretty.
Getting cross-eyed here.
So what can we do for you, Scott?
Well, since we're talking about media and movies and stuff like that, I'm a big fan of TV shows like Lost and 24 and all that. And I got Windows Vista, back when it first came out through the Power Together campaign. I don't know if you heard about that or not. But ever since I got Vista, I don't know if you're aware, but first Fox, it doesn't support Vista. It's been that way since
Oh, yeah.
And now ABC.com, they just updated their player to have like an HD full screen. And now they also don't have Vista support. So I'm like, I was wondering if you guys are aware of that, because it's just like, why are they leaving us hanging, you know?
Yeah. No, I had seen that too,
playing back video in general. I don't know if it's Fox's fault. I think they're probably working as fast as they can. I mean, 200 million people will be using Vista by the end of the year. They don't want to leave those people out in the cold.
Yeah. No, I think it's only a matter of time. I mean, this is one of those unfortunate side effects of, you know, using something that is brand new and it just isn't the majority yet. But we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah, so hopefully so. Well, that's all I want.
Hey, I'm so glad you called. Thank you for listening to the show. You know, one of the reasons I should point out, one of the reasons the chat is so god awful is that we just have a lot of people in here.
So you're blaming them? Is that...
Well, no, but I mean, when you IRC is really awful when you have a lot of people in there too. It just goes fast and it's hard to follow. Admittedly, the bubble format doesn't work so well. But with you, Rachel was pointing out that on her show where she has fewer listeners, it works fine. So it's just I have to say that. All right.
Weekly be less popular.
Really,
Leo, why?
Why? Too many people.
Why do you have to try so hard?
Too many people. Shannon, welcome. Leo Laporte, Paul Thurrott. This is Windows Weekly Live. Hi, Shannon. Where are you calling from today? And silence fell upon the land. I don't even see anything.
Sat on her mic.
Well, if I had seen anything in chat. Hey, speaking of somebody sitting on their mic, Mike's back. Hello, Mike. Mike, is you're on your shoe phone now. Is that right? Oh, no. Oh, okay. Mike. Oh, Mike.
Mike has been totally muted.
Talk to us. Talk to us, Mike. Second time's a charm, I thought. Maybe we'll have to do it three times. Mike? Okay.
Wow.
Dokie. Kevin, welcome to Windows Weekly. Leo Laporte, Paul Thurrott. Hi, Kevin.
Hi there.
Where are you calling from?
Denver, Colorado.
Beautiful Denver. Did you get snow today?
No, but it's really cloudy outside. It's been a very gloomy day.
Yeah. Paul, are you getting snow? Because I know the East Coast is going through this weird, nippy...
Yeah, we did actually get a little snow, which
That's
I didn't
so
appreciate.
Weird. It's April.
I'm going to be in Denver in about 3 weeks.
Oh, great.
I hope it's not snowing.
It's 75 degrees and the sun is shining in Petaluma, and it's beautiful.
I don't recall asking, but...
Oh, quit being jealous that we don't live in California, too.
You know, I can live anywhere I want, and this is where I chose, because the wine is good here.
There you go.
It's all about the wine. What can we do for you, Kevin?
Well, I have a question for Paul. We currently have three computers in our household. All of them have Office 2003 on them. We have the student and teacher edition, and that had the you could use it on three computers license. I was wondering, is there a comparable solution for Office 2007?
Yes. Yeah. So the version of Office 2000. Oh, what?
There's no Outlook.
Oh, there's no.
Yeah, Outlook. That's annoying.
Which pisses me off.
Yep.
Agreed.
What do you mean students don't use mail?
Well, I think I think what they were thinking, if I could step into the head of
I
the
can
Microsoft.
Tell you what they were thinking. We want more money.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
That's what they
See, I was actually not going to be cynical there for a second.
Okay, why? Why did they not put Outlook?
Hold me right in.
Why did they not put Outlook in there?
Well, because the types of people that would be using this, whatever it's called, the home student edition are either grade school, high school, or college type students and or their families. And if they're at school, either when they're younger, they don't have email, or if they're at college, they're probably using some sort of Gmail type account. And
maybe they're pushing people towards, they figure, well, you'll be using Windows Mail, Vista Calendar, Vista Address Book, they're pushing
that's true. If you have Vista, you get that stuff,
I think what they're saying is use Google.
Well, I don't think that's what they're saying.
Yeah, that's what they're saying. That's what I'm doing.
But they include OneNote, which is arguably
a great thing
for a kid to have.
That's a great student program.
Yeah. So that's my non-cynical answer.
But you do get the three licenses. That hasn't changed.
You do get the three licenses,
That is a good deal.
Yeah, Outlook is a tough loss, I love Outlook.
It bugs me, but I guess, Hey,
is there any way to get three licenses and Outlook, or would you have to buy Outlook licenses separate?
You would literally have to buy three copies of Outlook,
Oh, my God. Okay. And they can't just buy Outlook by itself, can you?
No, you can.
You can?
You can, yeah.
Is it $99? What does it cost?
Yeah, it's probably $100 or $129.
You know, whatever happened, it used to be when you would get a Pocket PC device and you got ActiveSync, mm-hmm. you'd get Outlook.
Right.
Those days are long gone, I guess.
Yeah. Well, the good news is you won't be getting ActiveSync either, so. I hear you.
I went in there. I have to say, it's huge sticker shock. I went in to buy Office 2007. I was ready to plunk down. I knew it was going to be a few $100. When I saw, first of all, it's like a couple of $100 for the Office student mm-hmm. and home. And I thought, well, that's great. And then I saw there's no Outlook.
Yeah, 100. Yeah.
What is it, 199?
139.
Oh, it's cheap. Okay. Yeah. I thought, great deal.
It's affordable.
But then there's no Outlook, and I'm not going to get it without Outlook. So then I looked the next one up. It's like, what, $400? $500? Was that right? I walked out of the store.
You could always install Office 2007 side by side. With the old version, right. Or just replace the products that you.
Oh yeah. Well, so what happens then? Your Outlook still works.
Yeah, but I haven't tried that particular scenario. But one thing I have noticed is if you run FrontPage 2003 with Office 2007, you get some bizarre setup dialogue every time you run one or the other. So you've been running 2003, then you go to run 2007, and it does a little setup, and
I don't think it works so well.
It's a pain. Yeah. It does work, but it's a pain.
I don't think it works. Thank you for the call, Kevin. Johnny B. from Memphis, Tennessee. And I think he just says that so it rhymes. Hey, John.
Hey, Leo. Hey, Paul.
Welcome to Windows Weekly Live.
Thank you. I was just wondering, I'm running 64-bit XP on a machine I built recently, and I'm having a really hard time finding a decent webcam with 64-bit drivers. And is it still a case of hardware developers feeling that there's not enough user base to warrant writing 64-bit drivers, or is it something else?
No, that's exactly what it is. And the sad thing is, in Vista, Microsoft is obviously making a more concerted effort to get people going on 64-bit. There are requirements for logos and so forth that things are at least compatible. They don't have to be 64-bit native, but they have to work on 64-bit version. But even there are all kinds of problems, and Microsoft's own webcams don't work properly on the 64-bit versions of Vista. So
they require it not only to be 64-bit, but it has to be signed. It has to be signed. This is the security model.
Yeah,
it has
all
to be
kinds
signed
of, all
driver.
Kinds of issues, yeah.
It is a lot harder to do, but I don't think it's technically impossible. I noticed I tried 64 for a while. I mean, like a lot of there are a lot of 64-bit drivers. It's these cameras for some reason are not working.
Right. Ooh, I just plunked my mute button there.
It might be there's something about WDM that makes it hard to do a 64-bit driver.
I honestly think it's something about people look at how many people are running it and they say, I'm not going to bother.
Why did you decide, John, to go with 64-bit Windows in the first place?
I've got the system I built's got a Core 2 Duo in it. Yep. I'm like, if I can do it, why not?
Right. Well, sure. I think there's a lot of reasons why not. Compatibility issues. It's not necessarily faster. The only real advantage of 64 is it's more secure, and that's why there are all these compatibility issues.
There are two. So, it is actually more secure. But
and
you
can address a petabyte of memory.
Yeah, so if you can throw 8 gigs of RAM in there. If you can go over 4 gigs of RAM, you might be able to make a case for it if you...
But your motherboard has to support that.
Yeah, and right. I mean, if the hardware can support that.
The hardware is not the problem, but
Do you want more than 4 gigs of RAM?
Everybody want more than 4 gigs of RAM?
Yeah, I have some friends of mine that are really heavy into Photoshop, and
they could use
Photoshop going. I've seen their system chokes with 4 gigs.
Right? No, that's true. That's true.
Double that. So, and I'm working on. I mean, I want to start doing work in Photoshop myself. And we all have comparable systems, so I'm like...
When you got 64, you also got 32, and my recommendation is just install 32 until there's a compelling reason to use 64 and until things work with 64. I can't see are you sure that Vista... Is it 4 gigs that it's limited to? That's the most you can put in Vista is 32?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Sorry.
That's absurd.
That's the... Yeah, well.
IBM, there's a guy, you probably saw this, the guy at IBM who was a longtime Vista beta tester and stuff said he thinks that the sweet spot is 4 gigs, and whenever Microsoft really wants to show off Vista, that's how much RAM they put in.
Sure.
And that's the max. That's crazy.
On 32-bit, yeah.
That's
yeah.
crazy. So that would be a compelling reason, I guess, if you wanted to put 6 or 8 gigs of RAM in. See, that's why I'll be honest with you. That's the reason to get a Mac.
Oh, jeez.
That's the reason to get a Mac.
Well, that's the end of that phone call. No, I was chatting with some guys a while back about the 64-bit stuff, and I think a lot of technical people, and I did this too, you know, you look at this and you think, well, gee, I can run 64-bit now. I should do this. You know, there are good reasons to do it, but I think the reality, sadly, right now is that's what's going to happen. You know, yeah. you get bit by some incompatibility thing, and it just makes the whole thing so miserable.
I did it on my Dell laptop, the M1210, and I think the camera even worked. I think everything worked. The Synaptics mouse driver, I was able to get a 64-bit through Dell, and it worked. But I just didn't see a compelling reason to do it, and so I went back to 32, just thinking, well, it's going to, you know, I'm not going to have the compatibility.
Microsoft's Vista drivers for their life cams are pathetic. I mean, I don't know what's going on there.
Rotten Knee. I don't know what's going on there. Rotten Knee, what's your real first name and where are you calling from?
My name's Rodney from Gaffney, South Carolina.
Oh, I get it. Rodney, Rotten Knee.
There you go.
Rotten Knee. I get it. What can we do for you, Rodney?
I bought Windows Vista Ultimate, the OEM, and my computer now. I want to upgrade probably about 6 months when DirectX 10 cars come out, and I was wondering if I do a whole full upgrade, am I going to be able to use this same license?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the one big misconception here is that, you know, there's a lot of fear out there that if you upgrade too much in your system, you're not going to be able to, you know, activate it or whatever. But even in an instance where Vista literally came up and said, you need to reactivate and it, because of this hardware change, which I don't think would actually happen on a video card, but if it did, you would be able to do a phone activation, explain why, you know, what happened, and there would be no problems. For all the horror stories about Microsoft, and believe me, there are a million of them, the one thing that is notably absent, I think we all have to admit, is no one has any stories about calling Microsoft to activate and having them say no. You know, so you bought this thing legitimately, you upgrade some component. If for some reason that's what happens, you're not going to have any problems with that.
We have 4 minutes left. You want to try us to do four calls in 4 minutes? You feel good?
Yeah, let's go.
Shannon, let's move it. We're going to move it. Hey, Shannon, welcome to Windows Weekly with Paul Thurrott and Leo Laporte.
Hey, guys. Thanks for doing this live. This is really great.
It's fun, isn't it? I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, it really is. A quick question. I've been hearing you guys talk about Parallels and virtualization on the Mac side. Could you run, I run Vista Media Center. Could you run a Vista Media Center and leave it up running all the time on a Mac?
I wouldn't. The drivers are going to be an issue on that.
Yeah, I imagine it would work. Actually,
I would just do boot camp if that. I mean,
the person who called. Yeah, but I mean, the person who called earlier with the DVD collection he'd ripped to his drive. I believe that's what he wanted to do.
Right.
And I'm guessing that he had, in fact, tried at least running Media Center. So, yeah, you could do that. But I mean, you would need a lot of memory for that too.
If you did use boot camp, would
then it would work fine. You're using your Mac as a PC, however.
Yeah, you'd have to reboot each time to get back into the other OS.
So it would almost be better just to buy a cheap PC in that case. But yes, I think that would work. That's a really good question. I mean, I think there are limited things. You have problems with some things in Parallels. And where you particularly have problems is hardware.
Video, yeah.
And things like a video capture card. I don't know. I mean, I don't think it's going to work very well. I don't know if this is the same Kurt or a different Kurt. Kurt, welcome to Windows Weekly. Is it the same, Kurt?
It's the same, Kurt. It's so sad that on this show you can actually call in twice.
If you talk fast, you can. I want to get four in by 4 minutes.
He's going to complain about the answer from the last time.
Your answer sucked.
Yeah, I just threw a link in the chat saying I saw this on Engadget today. They have made a 4-gig card to go inside your computer for Ready Boost to add 4 gigs of RAM.
That's the way to do it.
And it plugs into your USB
the internal
port on the motherboard itself.
InnoDisk. Yeah. InnoDisk makes it. InnoDisk. That makes sense, because then you don't have to have this dongle hanging out the side. Good tip.
Sure.
Thank you, Kurt. I appreciate it. See, that was worth getting you back on for. I like that.
He's good.
All right. You want to do it again one more time? Mike.
Yeah.
Talk to me, Mike. Hey, yeah! Go, Mikey. Go, Mikey. Go, Mikey.
Oh, man. Everyone's rooting in the chat.
Yeah, they're all rooting for you, Mike. I'm glad we got you in. Now, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Kentucky.
All right, you got 1 minute. What's your question?
Jeez, no pressure.
You're just happy to get in. You don't have a question. You just made it. Yay, Mike. Congratulations. NS Mike. One more here. NS Mike. Hey, NS Mike.
Hey.
What can we do for you?
I was wondering if Paul knew if there was any truth to the rumor about a Flash-based Microsoft Zune that will be free with subscription.
Oh, I like that.
I don't know anything about that. And if I did...
Where'd you see that rumor?
And Gadget.
Hey, yeah, and Gadget never lies.
Okay.
If it were Gizmodo, okay. I wouldn't trust it. But,
see,
but
he said, okay. I would have said, okay.
Okay. But, now, and Gadget, I think, is pretty reliable. But remember, rumors are very rumory, right?
Listen, we all know the way Microsoft works. The notion of the company giving something away to gain market share is in keeping with their strategies for so many products. So that wouldn't surprise me in the slightest.
You know, I mean, it wouldn't have a lot of memory. It might have 4 gigs, but that's one way to jumpstart the Zune, isn't it? And I love the subscription model. I think that's a great model. Hey, we're out of time, but this was fun. You want to do it again, Paul?
Never again.
Okay, thank you very much. Good night, everybody.
We should do this once a month.
Once a month, we'll do it. Your questions were great, everybody. Thank you so much. We want to thank the folks at TalkShoe for making this possible. And we will see you next Thursday, or I guess it's Friday, next Friday for another Windows Weekly. Thanks, Paul. Take care.
Thank you.